Welcome to the Art Talk podcast, where I discuss the stories that help us accomplish to be better artists as well as better art entrepreneurs. I am Karin Merks, your host, and I'm artist, art entrepreneur, and art coach or teacher. This is episode 55 of Art Talk, and today I have Nicholas Ferguson as my guest. Nicholas and I met at the Other Art Fair, and I was highly interested in how he uses his intuition to paint, and especially portraits, surrounded with the insights he receives. He paints with a lot of colors, writes poetry, and has a surrealistic view, which also interests me. And he likes to provoke the viewer, as well as himself. Welcome, Nicholas. I'm really happy to have you here with me.
Thank you, Karin. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to catch up again. So you write that you are mostly self-taught, except for the classes in secondary school. You became a marketing person in the beauty industry. How much advantage do you have from that in your art business? Is marketing something you still apply to your own art business?
That's a good question. So, I mean, I studied art at secondary school, and I knew it was my calling. I didn't know quite how, I suppose at that age, I didn't know quite how to stand up for myself because I had a lot of noise in the background of how are you going to make a career out of this? So I thought, okay, fine. Well, in that case, let's do what I'm told and, you know, and do something else. And when I came out of a course, which was a hospitality degree, I love people. So hospitality was quite well suited in that context. I thought, well, how the hell am I going to apply this to making money? And I thought, well, you know, the opportunity that I see in business is marketing because it's creative. And what I quickly understood was marketing is essentially, of course, we're creating a market for our products, our services, our goods, whatever they may be. But what I also realized very quickly is that marketing is about storytelling, and I am a natural storyteller. And effectively, it's about creating a community, a connection that then creates community. And stories are a means of creating connection. And so when you ask how I use my marketing in the context of my art, what I'm figuring out very quickly is it's all about creating connection and serving people's needs. And you may say, well, how is, you know, creating a painting a need? And in many respects, I think it's about validation. It's about creating, making the person feel valued, making them feel heard. And the other thing which I recognize is I'm a lateral thinker. We were talking briefly before we jumped on the recording about intuition. And for me, I'm often told that I'm very good at connecting dots. And what does that mean? Creating connections where connections haven't existed before. And so I recognize that that's what I put into my art, and that's how I use marketing and branding to this day in what I do.
Marvelous. I love that, what you say, the storyteller. Yeah, the same for me. It was in music as well as in the portraits I paint. And it's so interesting because I have to admit that at the beginning I had like marketing, but it is kind of interesting when you make it a creative endeavor in itself, isn't it? And it is all about storytelling. We are stories. The whole world is connected through stories. I think that if you create a map or a painting with all the dots that entail stories, and I paint the portraits with it, we get a very interesting work, large. But because I think we all are that. Would you agree?
100%. And I think it's about communication, and there are so many different ways of communicating. There's visual communication, oral communication, energetic communication.
So. Energetic, absolutely. And I think that's even more apparent with someone intuitive like yourself, which I can relate to. You energetically feel attracted or repelled.
Completely.
Yeah. So your work, you say, is dreamlike. And I looked at it, and it is dreamlike. And I had to come to terms with it itself. Mm. It's intuitive and provocative, surely. Can you tell me the story behind your work? So, like, why do you create the work you do? And not what you did, but what you do. Because I know you have done something to prove yourself to the art world, like, okay, but I can do that too. But now, what you create now, can you tell me why you do that?
Yeah, behind that. I think you know, to your point, like, before I used to paint aesthetics, things that I found beautiful or ugly, actually, just things I found interesting, curious. And now I really bring in this element of curiosity and storytelling. So I'll often get an idea, and the idea may seem very abstract. I'll give you an example. It was a piece that I created in 2021, but it kind of tunnels in or kind of adds color to what I'm doing at the moment. And it was called Frühstück, which means breakfast in German. And and what I recognize with breakfast is it's something that we all do. We all break the fast at some point in time, whether it's when you would traditionally have breakfast or not. And we do it in very different ways. And, or more to the point, we consume different foods. So, you know, you may have an Indian person eating curry, or you may have a Japanese person eating raw fish, or you may have a British person having bacon and eggs, or a Danish person having cheese and ham, or an Italian smoking a cigarette and a coffee. But we all have to do it, and we will often be repelled, to your point, by, as in disgusted by what other people do, and attracted by what people who are similar to us do. So I might find, I'm quite open-minded when it comes to food, but I might still find it disgusting for some people to eat certain things at a certain time of day. And so for me, that's just, it's a way of showing humanity, and it's a way of showing who we are and our idiosyncrasies. So then if I take a step beyond that, like, the collection of pieces I created last summer were all about a theme of home and what home means. Because home, while it might be the four walls and a roof that we live under, it means so much more. It can mean our body. It can mean our mind. It can mean a feeling, a sense. And then in the autumn, I came up with another theme, which was the theme of perspective. And perspective is the theme that I created a collection for most recently, in the autumn. And it's this idea that there are so many, each of us has a perspective. And it's simply that, it's a view, and we're all entitled to have an opinion. And it's interesting, I went to a talk once and the author who was doing the talk, he said, you know, in any situation you'll have only, and I don't know how much I agree with this, but it's an interesting context. And he said, in any situation you'll have three angles. You'll have, let's say, a conversation with two people. You'll have what one person saw, what the other person saw, and then you'll have what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we're always filtering information, and these pieces on perspective also speak about reality, and they question what is reality. What, and to your point about the dreams, how I believe that we dream, we imagine first, and then we live what we've imagined. So everything that I live is a consequence of something I imagined either last night or earlier in my life. And so these pieces, all they are quite provocative, but and they all question this concept of reality.
That is so amazing. I love that. I really love that, because this goes further than just intuition. This is even spiritual. And we call this spiritual, and I think, just like many words in the world are worn out. But for all the books I read about spirituality, and I just read Eckhart Tolle, Presence in the Now, everything we see is an illusion. It's an illusion. It was something in someone's mind at one point, and it became and made it a reality. And it says that you question that, but we can also make it in a reality for ourselves.
100%. And I think just going back to what, I'll touch on that again in a second, but I think just going back on your earlier question about, you know, what is my art all about? It really feeds off my personality, and my personality is playful, it's cheeky, mm-hmm. and it's provocative. You know, I have nicknames for all of my friends, and I've got friends from all over the world, and I tease them a lot, and they'll often say only Nick can get away with that. And it's because I like to point out, and it's about myself as well. Some people say I'm the worst person for being teased, but it's just about pointing out our idiosyncrasies, and we've all got them.
Yeah.
And
it's really important, because when you look at how many cultures do we have, but we're one race, you know, we're just human animals. That's it. But we have so many different perspectives, different backgrounds, different cultures. And it's interesting what you say, that we talk, and within our talk, something happens. So in this case, I listen and I reflect, and I listen actively, which is different than keeping something in my mind because I want to say it. But we create a story here, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. 100%. And just touching on what you said about reality, I believe that what we imagine creates our reality, which then reinforces it's our focus that creates our reality, and then our reality reinforces our belief system. So we're constantly creating.
Yeah.
And it means we can prove it because we see it.
Yeah.
But only I can see the exact version of what I see. You might be able to see parts of it, but you won't be able to see all of it. And I'll be able to prove what I see because it's my illusion.
Exactly, as I have my illusion. But you seem to me also a very lighthearted person with your teasing and your smile and the way you talk. Am I right?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, exactly. So that brings you, going back to the spirituality, in a high vibration also. It's your energy feels light automatically. And I already had that in on the other art fair when we talked. And from what you say, you lean into the surrealistic masters. And that's also what you said on your website. Is this a more philosophical approach for you? Or coming back to our conversation, do you see the world we live in as a world that is an illusion to start with? Or is what you create pure anti-establishment, what the original surrealistic masters entailed with their work?
I mean, there certainly is an element of questioning reality, which could be seen as anti-establishment. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't call it, it's not... I think it's provocative. It's asking the audience to question their life, their lives, and to your point earlier, recognizing how we're all so connected, you know? And so there are, you know, people have compared some of my pieces to to surrealism as a movement. And it's interesting, I was studying up on surrealism a little bit more last year than I ever had before. So I got a stronger flavor of what the surrealist masters were really looking to achieve in terms of, you know, overthrowing certain establishments, as you say. I think for me, yes, there certainly is that element of I see there's so much suffering in the world, you know?
Yeah.
And for me, it's about recognizing that life isn't, I mean, there's no shoulds, but life isn't necessarily to be suffered. Life is to be enjoyed.
Yeah.
And as we said earlier, everything is imagined. So, you know, imagination is our way out. And that is, for me, is, and don't get me wrong, I have bad days. I have, you know, I mean, as they say, as the alchemists say, you know, life is a pendulum, and you're constantly swinging from side to side, and there's no way out of the pendulum aside from non-identification, which again goes back to, or non-attachment, which goes back to spirituality again.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think, you know, particularly for that piece about perspectives, you know, there's the piece which is called Immersibilis, which questions whether such a thing as progress actually exists. You know, there's a rubber duck aiming for a Himalayan salt iceberg. It's a Himalayan salt berg. And the occupants of the duck, a little bit like Titanic, are arguing about